then iman has got certain requirements. One is to believe from within the heart. It means you're in agreement and you acknowledge from within the heart to the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Then the second requirement is that you announce your iman as well. Aslahu wa bayyan. That you don't only believe it and have it at heart, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, but you also publicly announce your faith. Wa aslahu wa bayyan. And the third requirement is for the person that is coming into Islam, then he must also publicly denounce all his previous religions, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, whatever ism, all that must be denounced completely. When he conforms to this criteria, then we embrace him into Islam. But if he doesn't conform to this criteria, he says that what, or someone says he's got iman at heart, what we know, whether he's got iman or not, is not acceptable. That iman must be at heart. Number two, he must express it, must make an announcement of his iman, no matter how good he must have been, and no matter how charitable he must have been, and no matter how honest and kind he must have been. But until he doesn't make a public declaration. And number three is, he must denounce all the past fate of his, the religions of his. This is a requirement, and you will see it in the pages of Bukhari Sharif. The great leaders, Caesar of Rome, he received the letter of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was convinced, and he says, لَتَجَشَّمْتُ لِقَاءَهُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُ عِنْدَهُ لَغَسَلْتُ رِجْلِهِ. He says, I would have taken the pains to go and meet him, and had I been by him, I would have washed his feet, I would have carried his shoes. So he went to show this level of agreement and loyalty with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when he had to have a close cabinet meeting with these select people, and he spoke to them about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they all disagreed. And they disagreed and they were about to protest. When he saw them protesting, then he called them back. He says, no, I was just testing you people out, whether you are adhering to your faith or you are moving away. So now I see that you are adhering to your faith, so I must compliment you for that. So they bowed down to him and they're happy with it. But the reason for his not accepting iman was his recognition and his position. He knew, he understood that as good as I am to my subjects, very charitable, very good, very honest, but if I'm going to accept this creed here, then I'll lose my position, I'll lose my kingdom. So he remained upon his Christianity. Right? Imam Bukhari says, وَكَانَ هَذَا آخِرُ. This was the last. That means a person is judged according to how he leaves the world. He died like this, so then he'll be counted as a kafir. Then we will not say, perhaps he had iman in his heart, and perhaps this, and perhaps that. We won't say that. Abu Talib not only loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he supported him, he defended him, and he's the dear uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He remained with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout the time of the boycott, 3 years. But when it came to the end, he didn't want to make a public declaration of his iman. He didn't denounce his past faith. When he didn't denounce it, then Bukhari Sharif says, "Kana fi dahdahi min al-nar," he'll be in Jahannam as well. And Rasulullah was then prevented also to make dua for him. That as dear as he was, as good as he was, and can you find anybody greater than the one that supported Rasulullah against his own integrity? suffering the 3 years of boycott where he can't get the essentials of life. So much he did for Islam, so much of charitable works, but he failed to announce his faith in Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and denounce his previous faith. So kana fi dahdahim min an-nar, he's in Jahannam. So no matter what you do, but you have to express tabu wa aslahu wa bayanu. You're coming into this faith, you must express. And Firon also, right till the end, he remained on his kufr. And just as Israel al-Islam is about to pull out his soul, then he says that amantu billadhi amara bi banu Israel. Now I accept. But this is not at the time that he's parting. So his iman is rejected. Al-ana wa qad asita qablu. Now you want to accept. You are good to your Egyptian brothers, right? Very good, right? But you want to accept iman at this point, so this iman is rejected. So similarly is the fate of the Pope, right? So he may have been charitable, we don't want to go into that discussion. But all the charity is also just a front. Because the whole world is seeing the rise of Islam, right? And now when you see the rise of Islam, then the West needs to curry favor with the Muslims. We're good, they're very good people, we're charitable people, so recognize the good that we have got. Then you have some freak that will speak in favor of you. He'll have a Muslim name, but now actually he's suffering from a complex. Why? Because of the publicity that he's got, because of the color that he's got, so you feel a complex. The same person, from say for example from a poor country like Malawi or Bangladesh, then he would have been supported. But because he's got the publicity coming on the movies and because of the front that he gave, it created an impression, so now you have some freaks supporting him. But till the end he had the cross around his neck. He died with that, he died with kufr. So you'll say safely that he died mata kafiran. And if you don't want to say that, say, you know, there may be an exception to the rule, right? So there can be an exception to the rule of the person that's making this type of announcement as well. That he may be called a Muslim, but he's an exception to the rule, he's a kafir. So if there's an exception rule on this side, then there's an exception of the rule on that side as well. You have to keep the balance. So who's making this announcement, he may be an exception to the rule that he may not be loyal to Islam, he may be loyal to Christianity, so then he's pushed away on that end. How do you know? So the rule is that you must express to Islam openly, open declaration, in every possible manner, you make a proper declaration of your iman and denounce all the false faith that you had. Jesus is God or he's son of God, etc. You denounce all that. Failure to do it, Allah Pak says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا. They are all kafirs. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَالْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. Whoever says that Isa is the son of God or God himself, then they are kafirs. And when Allah Pak speaks about kafirs and he says, كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سُوفَ نُسْلِيمْ نَارًا. They're all going, all dispatched to Jahannam, they're going to be there forever. So there's no way out. So when a person is not in that level of making this type of speeches, then it's not the right thing to listen to them. To any type of novice, any person, any amateur, and we're just listening to him and we take his words for granted. No, he's speaking very well. He touches our hearts, yes. The thing is that he doesn't know iman. When he doesn't know iman, then he can't make this type of statement. Iman requires that you make a public declaration. So the Pope, when did he make a public declaration of his iman Islam? He never make it, he never denounced his kufr and his past faith, Christianity, that is believing Isa al-Islam to be the son of God. He never denounced it. And he died with the cross. When he died with the cross, is there any greater symbol that he died as a kafir? You don't need any more evidence. Evidence is there. Otherwise, you must say also Abu Jahl, perhaps he must be an exception to the rule. He fought against the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there must be an exception to the rule. He may have died as a Muslim. So this if and but and may and not, all these things doesn't work. Iman, then you have to be absolutely clear, absolutely conclusive, categorical, absolutely clear. It doesn't require all this type of ambiguity. Iman requires absolute clarity. Denounce all the past and make a declaration of your Islam and that you are patriotic to Islam and to the Muslims. Otherwise, all these people are good. They did a lot of good works,
a lot of charitable works. The rest also did. But all these were just fronts, just to curry favor with the Muslims and all. They're very good people, and we are very kind, etc. So any person gets affected with kindness. Any person. And then the worst thing is that we are affected with color. Not affected with the message. Same person, if the person did that from Malawi, or from, for example, Tanzania, or from Bangladesh, we will not give any acknowledgement, no credence to the person. Why? He doesn't have the color. He's not coming on the movies like we would see others. So because of the publicity, and because of the color, and because of we suffering a complex, we will give this person a recognition. So we need to check into our iman ourselves, understand what iman is, and then make this type of public declaration, public announcements. So I had to clear this up, because this type of messages are going viral, and people's iman gets affected. They can't discriminate iman from kufr. They can't. Show me anyone that says that we believe in Rasul-e-Pak, and we believe him to be the final Nabi, and we believe that everything else that came before him, he is abrogated. Show me one person. If he refused to do it, then Rasulullah says, even if Musa alayhi salam had to be alive, even if Musa alayhi salam had to be alive today, and you followed him, and you said all the articles of faith, you followed him, وَتَرَكْتُمُونِي, and you left me, then you're going to Jahannam. Straight, clear. So iman is not a thing to be playing around with, and not a thing that is ambiguous and unclear. It's absolutely clear. Even if this man was alive, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam was alive, and you followed him and you left me, then you're gone. So Rasul-e-Pak is the criteria. He's the fariq bain al-nas. He's the one that divides who's going to Jannat and Jahannam. You're following him, patriotic to him, you're showing your allegiance to him, you're going on the right. But the slightest deviation or slightest inclination to something else, then you can't call yourself to be patriotic and loyal to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Person comes into a marriage, such a logical thing. He can't tell his wife, or his wife can't tell him, you know, I had a boyfriend in those days, so I need to keep some level of loyalty with the person. I'll send them an Eid message, or we'll meet, we'll have lunch together or something once a week, etc. You can't. You'll have to say that, wife, make up your mind with me or that person. You want to be with that person, then remain with that person. Then don't just give me a cover that you love me. You love me, then you must leave everything else. Whatever happened in the past, maybe I forgive you for that, but not, never to be repeated. And the same demand will be made by the wife and husband, that if you are interested in me, then leave all your past friendship. You had some girlfriends, etc., in your past. Make tawbah for that and just dump that, abandon that entirely. Otherwise, this relationship is not on. We'll just cancel it totally. So in our marriage, we are very good, very quick. But what doesn't belong to us, that will encroach. Islam is the property of Allah Ta'ala. When it's the property of Allah Ta'ala, it's your personal property. Anybody encroaches into your property, is that acceptable? Not acceptable. Why is my personal property? It's your business, it's your yard, and I want to take my trucks and park into your yard. Or I want to go and just take things randomly from your business, encroach in your business. Is that acceptable? Minds. So Islam is the property of Allah Ta'ala. Nobody has got the right to make any type of encroaches into Islam. Take it as it were, no dilution, no pollution. Everything else is incorrect, unacceptable. Right? So that is why Rasulullah has been given a status. Allah himself says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَهُ. The status Allah Pak has given to him in the pages of the Quran, look at it. Look at the status Allah Pak has exalted and given Rasulullah the status. Right? You walking into the masjid, then you say Bismillah, and then you take the name of Rasulullah, Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah. As you come into the masjid, then you must show your allegiance again. Leaving the masjid again, Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah. Then the other duas also. But from the very beginning, you show your allegiance. The azan, you repeat the words of the muazzin, and thereafter you read Durood Sharif, again showing your allegiance, and again you read the dua of wasila for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the azan, if some name is taken, you are repeating the words,
and then you are making Durood Sharif and a dua wasila for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you're showing your agreement. You're not disagreeing with anything. Again, now you're coming into the Iqamah. Again, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to be taken for the Iqamah to be complete. The Azan, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to be taken for the Azan to be complete, right? The Namaz is incorrect. It will be cancelled if Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name wasn't taken. In the Tashahhud, you have to say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And if you left it out, the Namaz is cancelled. You have to repeat the Namaz. And to keep to the Sunnah, then you have to read Durood Sharif two times, Durood Ibrahim, then you make the dua. So every point you find the name of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is pronounced very clearly, not ambiguously. In the khutbah is incomplete without reading the Durood Sharif of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Shahadatain. You have to declare that. In the khutbah of the nikah, again, Rasulullah's name is taken. And the crown of the top is this, that imagine, Rasulullah has ascended the minbar, right? And Rasulullah says, Ameen. So Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum say, there's something strange, unique we found in you today. So what happens, you know, Jibreel appeared before me, and the one that listens to my name, and he doesn't make salam, doesn't recognize, he doesn't acknowledge reading Durood Sharif, then maybe he cursed. Imagine now, his name, Allah gave him such an exalted state that even we hear his name, read Durood Sharif. Otherwise, you're thrown out. You're not faithful. You're thrown out. You're cursed. You're going for Hajj, but you fail to go to Madinah Munawwara for no valid reason. Then, as though you've been cruel to Rasulullah Prophet Jafar. So much of a recognition for Rasulullah SAW and to believe in him. And the believe in him means that you announce my belief. You announce your patriotism. You announce your loyalty to him. And then that loyalty must be such that the Quran says, In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni. That your love for Allah Ta'ala, your forgiveness is subject to you following Rasulullah SAW. So every other role, every other charity, everything else, all has to be subject to the tariqah, the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you're on there, then Allah Pak declares his Muhammad. And if you leave that, then there's no assurance, no guarantee. You're scrapped, you're thrown out. Pope or Prophet's grandfather, there's no, nothing significant in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Do you follow my Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Do you follow and do you adhere to his code and his teaching? If you can't, then you are nothing. You are scrap. You are insignificant. You are just a waste. No matter who you are thereafter. But you have to subject yourself to Rasulullah SAW. He's following his ways, his tariqah, his method. For you to gain divine forgiveness and acceptance. Everything else, everything, Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah, he says, that every other road to Allah Ta'ala is closed permanently. But that road that Rasulullah SAW tread. You go on that path, then you're coming right. But if you move away from that path, even at heart move away from that path, then you're off the track. Imagine a train there. A train, it's got all the facilities and luxuries, all the comforts, everything that you think of. But it's not on the track. Can it make any progress? No. Same. You can do all the fanciful things, but you're not on the track of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You can't make any progress. That's what I'm going to stop.